friends, and welcome to season four of A Meaningful Mess podcast. I am so honored, so excited that you decided to listen, and I hope that you enjoy what you hear. I'm your host, Andy McNair, and I am a wife, mom, author, digital innovation specialist, and passionate educator that believes in today's learners. I'm so glad that you found the podcast, and I can't wait to share manageable and meaningful ideas for you to utilize in your classroom and beyond. My hope is that the ideas and strategies shared each week will help you find meaning in your mess. After you listen, please feel free to subscribe, rate, and share the podcast with anyone that you think might find it helpful. You can also connect with me over on my website at andymcnair.com, on Twitter at McNairAN3, and on Facebook and Instagram at A Meaningful Mess. Thanks for being here today. Let's get started. Welcome back to A Meaningful Mess podcast. You're listening to episode 48, and today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, probably not one of my favorite topics. It's absolutely my favorite conversation to have. Some of you can probably guess. And yes, today we're going to be talking about Genius Hour. Specifically, we're going to talk about some mistakes that I made as I began to implement Genius Hour. I was thinking last week, you know, so often when I'm consulting with a district who is implementing Genius Hour district-wide or campus-wide, or I'm sharing at a conference, oftentimes I talk about what went well and what we did to make it go well and how to make Genius Hour manageable and meaningful, all of those things. But I think sometimes you can learn just as much from someone's mistakes as you can from what they did well. And in considering that, I began to think about the five biggest mistakes I made when I started Genius Hour. And I wanted to take just a little bit of time to share those with you. So today I'm going to share five mistakes. I'm going to share a bonus mistake at the end. So actually there's six, but I had already put everything out, just to be totally transparent. I had already titled the blog post, put everything out about five mistakes. And I was like, oh, there's one more huge mistake. So we're going to just say we're talking about five mistakes and a bonus at the end. So as we talk through these, I want you to know that Genius Hour is hard. I always like to say Genius Hour is messy. It's our job to make it meaningful. But all I can say is it's so worth it. I tell the story all the time, but I almost left education. I almost got out and did something completely different because my role as an educator had become mundane. And I felt like what I was doing in the classroom wasn't meaningful for my learners. And I just didn't want to play the game anymore. And for me, I was blessed to connect with some amazing educators who were doing this crazy thing called Genius Hour and giving their learners an opportunity to pursue their passions. And as I learned from them, and as I watched how it was impacting their learners, I couldn't help but want to be a part of that. And so we started our Genius Hour journey, and it was hard and things didn't click right away. And as you're going to hear today, there were mistakes that I made, but my goodness, it changed everything for me. It changed how I saw my role as an educator. I began to find my passion for teaching again. And it also changed, I think my students would tell you, it changed how they perceived learning. And they began to realize what it looked like to not only be able to understand something, but to be able to do something with it. And this is huge. They also began to realize that they can play a role in creating change and making an impact on the world around them. And so we'll talk a little bit about that later, a little bit of a spoiler alert there, but let's just kind of get started. Let's dive in. Number one, the first mistake that I want to share with you is that I didn't value productive struggle. As I began to implement Genius Hour, I wanted my learners to be all in. And if I'm honest, I wanted the parents to be all in. But I quickly realized that my students were going to struggle while working on their projects. There were going to be things that they were going to come across and that was going to happen that was going to be hard. And I wasn't always going to be able to help. And so I'll tell you this, if you decide to implement Genius Hour, and I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you decide to implement Genius Hour, just know that there are going to be those times where you can't help them, not because you don't want to or because you're keeping the answer in your back pocket, but because you don't know. There are things they are learning about and exploring that you have no experience with, and that's okay. So in the beginning, I did all I could to prevent struggle, and I tried my best to have as many answers as I possibly could. In fact, I remember staying after school and going home and Googling and trying to learn all that I could about their projects. I'm just going to say that was a terrible idea. The reality is that it was only through allowing my learners to struggle that they were going to gain the skills and perseverance that they would need beyond the walls of the classroom. And for me, that was one of the main reasons that I implemented Genius Hour, was because I didn't want them just to be able to complete a worksheet or pass a test. I wanted to give them the skills that they could utilize beyond the walls of the classroom. So I had to learn that I didn't have to have all of the answers, and I had to restrain, and it was hard, but I had to restrain from trying to save the day. Instead, I had to support them in their struggle, and I had to give them opportunities to independently work towards solutions. And what I mean by support them in the struggle was they knew I was there, and they knew I would do all that I could to help them if I was able to. But oftentimes it was just through me asking questions and kind of cheering them on and helping them understand that it was okay for things to be hard. That became my role. And as I began to realize the important role that productive struggle played in the Genius Hour process, I became more comfortable with that role. So as we go through, I think I said this, but if not, I'm going to share kind of what I did and then what I would do now. So that's what I did. I didn't value productive struggle. I wanted to save the day. If I was in the classroom today implementing Genius Hour, and as I support educators now who are implementing Genius Hour, I always say it's important to help both learners and parents understand the importance of productive struggle and make it a priority from the start. Talk about that being part of the process so that when it happens, they don't feel like they're doing something wrong. I would understand that my role as a teacher was not any less important because I wasn't providing answers. Instead, it was different. And realizing now, I look back on that time and I realize that I had an even greater impact on those learners beyond the walls of the classroom than I did if I would have just said, oh, here's the answer. Here's what you need to do. So valuing productive struggle, definitely important, something that I would make a priority from the start if I was implementing Genius Hour today. Number two, I wasn't flexible with my timeline. When we first started Genius Hour, I explained to my learners that they would complete one project each semester. I thought that was a great idea. I was like, this will be perfect. They'll do one project in the fall, one project in the spring. But in doing so, I was dictating how long their projects should take. Here's why I think this was a mistake. It limited many of my learners in so many ways. Some of them needed more time, while others could have completed two or three projects in that amount of time. But because I said you're doing one project each semester, some of them didn't finish their projects, and some of them were just dragging, just kind of dragging it out to make it last that long, when the reality is they could have accomplished so much more if I would have let them move on to something different. By dictating what the timeline would be, I wasn't allowing them to make an important decision, practice time management, and really have full ownership of their project. I always like to say Genius Hour is theirs. It should be the one thing during the school day that they have full ownership of. And in order to give them that ownership, I think letting them create a timeline is not a bad idea. So what would I do differently today? Today, I would explain Genius Hour, how important purposeful planning is, and I would let them think through how long they think the project will take. You may even give them options. You could say, do you think this is going to take 3 weeks, 3 days, 3 months? The goal is just to encourage full ownership of the project and give them an opportunity to make decisions that will result in a willingness to invest. We know that the more ownership they have, the more willing they will be to fully invest in the work. If the project isn't completed by the date that they thought it would be, it's not a big deal. It's just a matter of, hey, how much longer do we have? It's just trying to stay on track. I actually had a teacher call me last week with a question about timelines and what does that look like? And I always say within the six P's of Genius Hour, passion, plan, pitch, project, product, presentation, this happens within the planning stage. So as they're answering their questions for planning, one of those questions is, how long do you think your project will take? And you might even have them create a general timeline with the major moments of their project. These are the major moments I think need to happen to get me from beginning the project to completion of the project and me accomplishing whatever it is that I've set out to do. So that's what I did. And so thinking through what I would do today, as I said, providing those options, those types of things, I think is a good idea, and not locking them into a specific timeline. Number three, I expected immediate buy-in. When I first learned about Genius Hour, when I heard people talking about it, I knew that this was what my classroom had been missing. There was no doubt. Like, this is what we need for my learners to be invested and for me to feel like I am doing the work that I want to do right now. And I was so excited, so jazzed, and expected my learners to react with that same excitement. However, I did not account for the fact that I was changing everything for them. I was taking what was comfortable, familiar, and honestly easy, and I was replacing it with something that was uncomfortable, different, and more open-ended than anything they had experienced before. So as a result, they had questions, their parents had questions, and the excitement that I expected just didn't happen right away. It happened eventually. I think most of my learners that I had would tell you that they enjoyed Genius Hour. Some of them would tell you that they loved it and that it was a game changer for them. But that didn't happen right away. They wanted to stick with what they knew. And I worked with gifted learners. And so a lot of that had to do with grades and how is this going to affect what you think of me and those types of things. That was a big deal. So what would I do differently today? Well, instead of assuming that they would buy in, I would make more of an effort to have honest conversations before implementing Genius Hour. In looking back, helping both my learners and parents understand why Genius Hour was going to be a priority would have been a good idea. I think I just jumped right in, and I thought that as soon as I said, you're going to have an opportunity to pursue your passions, like, who wouldn't be excited about that? Kids who have learned to play the game of school and have no idea what it looks like to have that kind of freedom. That's who. So today I would definitely schedule intentional conversations that would allow everyone to kind of come to the table and ask questions and provide feedback before full implementation. So you can see a lot of this is just, they're just things on the front end I wish I would have done differently, that as we've got to the middle of it, or as we kind of jumped in, I realized if I would have done this on the front end, things would have been much easier. So don't expect immediate buy-in, and don't give up on it if there's not immediate buy-in. Number four, I made assumptions based on my own perspectives. So oftentimes I made assumptions based on what I thought my learners might be thinking or feeling. I still am guilty of this. A lot of times I am the queen of assumptions. I have learned, I always like to say this. This may be a tip that you can take and do something with. I've learned that now when I make an assumption, I always ask myself, but what if you're wrong? But at the time, I didn't have that skill. I didn't do that. So I assumed that my kids, my learners, were good if they weren't asking questions. And I understood that I thought that if they were working, that they understood the process. However, looking back, I realized that oftentimes they needed me to ask them questions. Sometimes they didn't know what they didn't know. And so providing feedback and asking for feedback is so important and should be a priority throughout the entire process of Genius Hour. So as Genius Hour is happening, planning for getting feedback and giving feedback. So what I would do today, feedback would be my number one priority. I would consistently ask my learners how it was going and check in with student conferencing and documentation of learning. After realizing the importance of documentation of learning, in other words, having somewhere where they document, this is what I've decided what my passion is. This is my plan. This is what I'm going to pitch. And every day documenting how they're going to work on the project. That's important because that documentation of learning can be the feedback that you need and the check-in that you can make to be sure that they're on track and that they know what they're supposed to be doing, because Genius Hour is big. A roadmap is important. And so if you need something like that and you're just not sure what that looks like, I actually have some slides for the 6 P's of Genius Hour that you're welcome to utilize. You can find them by going to this blog post. So if you go to andymcnair.com and click on Andy's blog, you'll find this post, 5 Mistakes I Made When I Started Genius Hour. And if you'll scroll down to number 4, it's hyperlinked, and just click these slides and you'll have access to those. Feel free to use them in any way that you'd like. I also think that consistently asking for feedback through student conferencing, you could even use Google Forms for that, is a good idea. And I think there are some specific questions you could ask. So I think you could ask, what is going well? What isn't going well? On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate your work on the project so far? And what questions do you have for me? So thinking through that, and I'll put those questions in the show notes so that you have them. But I think just whether you do that in a student conferencing type of situation or on a Google form that you then meet with them and talk about, it's not a bad idea to consistently get that feedback and give them feedback as well. Okay, so number 5, I didn't provide a roadmap. When we first started Genius Hour, it was a mess, y'all. It was a mess. I'm convinced that it was messy. It was as messy as it was because we didn't have a roadmap. I always like to say, don't get me wrong, with or without a roadmap, Genius Hour is going to be a little messy. However, I was spending all of my time managing projects, and I didn't have time to actually connect with and create relationships with my learners. And that's what I had hoped to be the outcome of Genius Hour. So without a roadmap, my learners were never exactly sure what I expected or what I needed them to accomplish along the way. So it felt like every day they were saying things like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Or how do I find my passion? Or what do I do now that I've found it? And it was just exhausting. I was so tired every day. I was like, I'm spending every day managing the process. So what I would do today, upon realizing what a huge problem this was going to be, I created the 6 P's of Genius Hour: passion, plan, pitch, project, product, presentation. There they are again. I've already said them once in this podcast. After implementing this process, my learners, I'm not kidding, my learners really began to understand what they were expected to accomplish while, and this is key, while still being given the freedom to do it in a way that made sense for them. So it wasn't a checklist. It wasn't like, here's what you do on passion, here's what you do on plan. There were those pieces, but they had the freedom to decide how they made that happen. And so having a roadmap for Genius Hour changed everything for us. And I would make this a priority today. I began to spend my time, when I began to implement this roadmap, I got to spend my time helping them make connections to the standards, life-ready skills, and I was able to build those relationships that I knew were so important during this time. That was huge. So the 6 P's of Genius Hour, I always like to say, made Genius Hour, made passion-based learning manageable for me and meaningful for them. And isn't that the ultimate goal? We're never, as educators, going to continue to do something that isn't manageable for us. And our learners aren't going to want to continue to do something that isn't meaningful for them. So it's really important that we're able to make that a reality. And I honestly just think the 6 P's of Genius Hour can play a big role in that. Okay, here's the bonus mistake, right? Our projects weren't driven by purpose. I call this a bonus mistake and I put it at the end, but it's really huge. When I first began Genius Hour, our projects were just projects connected to what my learners like to do or what they wanted to learn. So I had kids making things out of Legos, which was awesome. I had kids writing books about dogs. I mean, they were good projects. But they started to look a little bit like research projects. And I had a hard time figuring out, like, what makes something a Genius Hour project versus a research project. And so along the way, I realized that their passion projects really needed to be driven by purpose. In other words, they needed to have a why behind the work that they were doing. So Genius Hour can be about so much more than a product and a presentation. Those are big parts of the 6 P's of Genius Hour. But I think it's really important to ask your learners what change they'd like to create or what impact they'd like to have on the world around them. You could even encourage them to write a purpose statement. And I've talked about these on the podcast before, but having them complete a purpose statement for their project, like, I want to learn about blank so that I can blank. That sentence helps them realize that they're not just doing this because it's part of their day, but there's purpose behind it. They're doing this so that they can, whatever that change or impact is that they want to make. This makes a huge difference, and I think it reminds our learners that they can use what they do in the classroom to influence what happens outside of the classroom. Okay, there they are, five mistakes and a bonus that I made when I first implemented Genius Hour. You know, I was really blessed to be able to realize that most of these, I was able to recognize most of these as mistakes early on, but I would say not all of them. I mean, I think it took me a little bit longer to realize the importance of purpose. I think it took me a little bit longer to understand the role that feedback needed to play in the process. So some of these mistakes were easy to fix. Some of them took me really thinking about and purposefully working toward a solution. Like I said earlier, Genius Hour is messy. It won't be easy, but I promise you it will be worth it. You will make mistakes, just like I did, but you will learn from those mistakes and you'll be better for them. So I really hope that through hearing about my mistakes, I hope it gives you the confidence you need to dive in and make Genius Hour a priority in your classroom. Passion-based learning is an opportunity for learners to make connections, practice life-ready skills, and make an impact on the world around them. That's huge. It only makes sense that we make this type of learning a part of the process, in my personal opinion. So I'd love to hear the mistakes that you've made when we're better together, right? The more that I can hear from you, gosh, just helps me. I love to learn from you just as much as you guys learn from listening to my stories on the podcast. So you can, like I said, go check out the blog post, leave your comments. I'd love to hear your mistakes. Another thing that I want to share really quickly before I close things out here is I have really been sharing a ton on Instagram, specifically about Genius Hour. So if you don't follow me on Instagram just yet, be sure to check it out because I am consistently posting. Sometimes they're posts, sometimes they're stories, sometimes they're reels, which I'm super uncomfortable doing, but I'm making it happen. So you guys check it out. You can follow me on Instagram at @a_meaningful_mess. I would love to see you over there. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that this was helpful, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.